بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, last week we had discussed the adab and etiquettes pertaining to the masjid, coming to the masjid, how a person should conduct himself before salah, during salah, after salah. And today, inshallah, we will be discussing a few adab, a few etiquettes relating to one's parents. And the reason for mentioning this after speaking about salah, we find this sequence in the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one place in the Quran, when Allah speaks about worship and tawheed, worshipping one Allah, not making shirk, not ascribing partners to Allah, then Allah immediately follows that up with obedience to parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. Allah has advised, Allah has decreed that you should not worship anyone besides Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Immediately thereafter Allah says, and that you be obedient and good to your parents. So this is an extremely important aspect of our deen, our obedience, being dutiful, being respectful to our parents. And many a times we are under the misconception that this is something which only applies to those who are younger. Perhaps those who are unmarried, they are still living under the roof of their parents, they are dependent on them financially. So they need to be obedient, respectful, they need to abide by the wishes of their parents. But in reality, this is something which is applicable to the young and the old. Those who may be parents on their own, they may be grandparents, but they have elderly parents of their own who are living, then it is equally necessary for us also to be obedient and respectful to our parents. And they have rights, huquq, over us, just as the teenager has to fulfill these rights of his father, of his mother. He has to take their du'as, he has to be kind to them, respect them. Likewise, a person is 50, 60 years old, he also needs to show this level of respect to his parents. And ulama have explained that this particular aspect, a person's, in accordance to how respectful a person is to his parents, that's how much of barakat and blessings Allah will give him in his dunya also. Not just in akhirat, but in his worldly life also, when it comes to his sustenance, his rozi, and ease of life, Allah Ta'ala will bless a person in accordance or in proportion to how kind, how obedient he is to his parents. A person will struggle to find, or very few cases we may find, where a person dedicated himself to his parents. He made their khidmat, he served them with diligence, he was kind to them, respectful to them, he didn't hurt them, he didn't cause them to cry, and he had a difficult life thereafter. Very seldom we'll find this. Generally, Allah Ta'ala opens up a person's life. Not that this is the intention, but this is just the fringe benefit of obedience to parents. The importance we can understand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that a person will come to you from Yemen. And then Nabi alayhi salam went on to describe this person, that he was afflicted with the white liver disease, his skin had turned white, and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah cured him, except for just a spot equivalent to the size of a dirham or a dinar. So this was his physical description. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when he comes to you, فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَهُ مِنْكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Any one of, oh my sahaba, any one of you who meets this person, then make sure that he makes istighfar on your behalf. Ask him to ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive you. This person, who is known as Uwais al-Qarni, we may have heard his name before. Qarn was the tribe that he came, or the area he came from in Yemen. So Nabi alayhi salam is telling sahaba radiallahu anhum, who enjoyed the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were the greatest of people after the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, that if you meet this person, who is not a sahabi, he never met Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then ask him to make istighfar for you. And in one narration, Nabi alayhi salam mentions, how did he achieve this status? Why is he so great in the eyes of Allah? لَهُ أُمٌّ هُوَ بِهَا بَرٌّ. He has a mother, and he was obedient to his mother. He was dutiful to his mother, لو أقسم على الله لا أبرا. Nabi alayhi salam says, what status does he hold in the eyes of Allah if he has to take an oath in Allah's name that wallahi this will happen or that will happen, then Allah will make sure he fulfills that action. Allah will facilitate it and make it happen just to ensure he keeps his oath. This is how valuable he was in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of obedience to his mother. A lengthy incident mentioned regarding him, how he wanted to meet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but he sacrificed that. He took care of his mother. So this is the level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him to. So nevertheless, we'll try and read through very quickly a few of the adab etiquettes pertaining to parents. The first that the author mentions is never be disrespectful to parents. Never hurt their feelings by any deed or word. This is the main thing. That even if a person has to disagree for some reason or the other, perhaps it's some dini issue, and here also the guideline is that we should obey the wishes of our parents, but of course, as long as it does not go against the sharia. As an example, ulama explained, a person's father or mother is now instructing them to eat something which is haram, or to expose their satr, their awra, and to dress in a manner that is inappropriate, or likewise some other haram action, then of course we cannot obey our parents in this regard. But despite this, the guideline is don't be disrespectful. So even if a person has to disagree with his parent, but this should be done in a very kind, gentle, respectful manner without hurting their feelings at all. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has advised also to this extent, even if a person's parent is a non-Muslim, person's parent doesn't even have iman, then also not just don't hurt them, but be kind to them. Make sure you put a smile on their face. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the ayat we read in the beginning, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. A person's parents, both of them or one of them, reaches old age. And generally when a person reaches old age, this is when they become set in their ways. They don't want to listen to anything. At times we may become irritated with them, upset with them. Then Allah says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even utter one sound of disrespect. So this we can gauge for ourselves, my dear brother. Sometimes the child may not say something back to the parents because he knows the father may discipline him or may take away some of his perks that he has. He may ground the child. But just our facial expression at times may convey our displeasure. This also is incorrect. So to that extent, we should not hurt our parents. Even on our facial expression, we should not show to them, I am displeased with what you have said to me. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be harsh to them. And وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them in a gentle way. Speak to them in a kind manner. So this, as we mentioned, one is for the youngster. He is living under the roof of his parents. He has to do this. And generally, he'll do it out of fear. Maybe he doesn't know, my father will take away my cell phone, or he won't allow me to go out in the weekend. I'm dependent on him, so I have to obey him. But many a times, those who have elderly parents, and now we find as the parent now becomes old, becomes weak, becomes frail, the mind also becomes weaker, and at times they become stubborn, set in their ways, they don't want to listen to any reason, and we become upset that now you causing it, and you're making life difficult, you're causing taklif, and now we've all got to work around your schedule. This applies to us also. لَا تَنْهَرُهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them kindly, speak to them gently. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّمَا تُنصَرُونَ وَتُرْزَقُونَ بِدُعَفَائِكُمْ. Allah's assistance and Allah's sustenance comes to you on account of the weak ones around you. Sometimes it's your children, sometimes it's your elderly parents who are frail, who are weak, and now we think they are a burden. They're costing me and it's giving me stress also. Every time I want to take my family out, now we've got to worry about the old lady or the old man, and they're going to now want to go at this time and want to go like this and go like that. But it's possible Allah Ta'ala's assistance is coming to my family, my business, my life because of their presence. So not just those of us who are young and our parents are middle-aged, they still have strength, they have that authority, they have that honor, that integrity. But those of us whose parents are elderly also, they are frail, they are weak, this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama explain, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'fin. Allah created us, we were weak. We could not walk, we could not hold our heads up, we could not eat on our own, we could not clean ourselves. And Allah facilitated our protection by putting our parents in charge of us. Our mother, father, They sacrificed their time, their health, their wealth, their energy, their desires. They took care of us when we were weak. Then the next stage in the life of insan, Allah gave us strength. Now the mind became sharp, the senses became sharp, energy came into our bodies, and we suddenly grew the ability now to run the business, to earn for ourselves, to think for ourselves. And the third stage came to our parents. They became weak once again. So all that strength they had, the vigor, energy they had, that now begins to go downhill. And the mind also begins to go downhill. ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ Allah says they reach a lowly age, almost a pitiable condition. And now when we have that strength and power, that vigor in us, now Allah's system is, Allah puts us in charge to look after them, to take care of them. As they took care of us, رَبِّ رَحَمُهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا That, oh Allah, have mercy on them as they took care of me when I was young. So when I couldn't walk, I couldn't clean myself, they did it for me. Now it's my turn to pay back. And one day our turn will come also. We'll become old, grey, weak. Allah Ta'ala, don't make anyone muhtaj. But this is the system of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala generally. As much obedience, kindness, khidmat we can make of our parents, Allah Ta'ala will make it such that our children will do the same for us. So we should never ever think that our parents are a burden or they are causing difficulty in my life. Rather take it as my good fortune. Allah has kept them amongst us, they are elderly, and even though they may be sickly, etc., this is my good fortune. Allah is giving me a chance to earn my Jannah. We mentioned this incident before. One person mentioned to me that he was now middle-aged, running the business with his father. He had children, grandchildren to take care of also. And his father was now elderly, set in his ways. He had started the business many years ago. So he had his own tartib, his own sequence. And he was not willing to move with the time, so to say. He was still the old school. And there were many changes that were needed in that particular line of work. So this person says that I would have this argument with my father on a daily basis. That we need to move this business ahead, move it forward. And let me make these decisions. Or let me do this, take this initiative. But he would rule with an iron fist. That as long as I am alive, the business will run according to my principles. So he says, it was back and forth, back and forth. Eventually I couldn't take it any longer. I went to make mashwara with some alim, some pious person. That what do I do? These decisions of my father, it's costing us every day in the business. We're losing so much of market share because he refuses to go ahead with certain things. So the alim says to him that your objective in earning a livelihood, is it to make money or is it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To fulfill your fard obligation. You've got to take care of your wife, your children. What's your objective? So he says to please Allah. He says if that's the case, hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, رِضَ الرَّبْ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ Pleasure of Allah is in pleasing your father. Make your father happy, Allah will keep you happy. So he says I had to put my head down, this is a mashwara, against my nafs and my desires, I had to do it. And every day I could see business is losing money. My father doesn't want to listen, I had to keep quiet. And he says within a few years, eventually his father passed away, but he says, Allah gave me so much, more than double what I would have expected had I made those decisions myself. And he says, I have yaqeen, this is because of my obedience to my father. That I didn't hurt his feelings, even though it was costing me, but I kept him happy, he made dua for me. Ulama say, take duas of our parents. One is we ask for duas, person will ask his mother, father, his spouse, he'll ask some alim, make dua for me. Take duas from our parents. Make khidmat for them. Serve them as much as we can. Duas will come out naturally. Then nothing can stop a person. Nothing can hold a person back. So never be disrespectful to parents. Obey and serve your parents. Even if they happen to be non-Muslims. Whenever you see them, greet them. If you are entering the room of your parents, seek their permission before entering. Greet our parents first. Again, this is something the youngsters should take note of. We enter a room, cousins are there, siblings are there, our parents are there. Immediately make salam to our parents first. Give them that respect, that honor. Ulama say to this extent, if we're walking to the masjid, let the father walk in front. Give him that amount of respect also, that I won't walk in front of him. I'll put him forward, at least he feels I'm giving him that honor in his life. Even though he may be elderly. Then with regard to when our parents are involved or engaged in some conversation, many a times, perhaps because of their age, they may not understand things. Now they want to speak politics or what's happening in the world and they have their views or their understanding of things. We should never ever cut them off. Even though I may know it better than them. One person explained, he says, that if the error is in deen, then it's a different story. We've got to explain to them gently. If it's some worldly error, their outlook or their view, their understanding of some worldly issue, then what harm will it cause to me to just let them speak? Let them speak, let them say it how they want to say it. But why should I spoil my deen, my iman, my akhirat, just to correct some dunyawi issue, some worldly issue that they have got wrong? So don't ever cut off their speech. Then we mentioned last week also, if a person is engaged in nafil salah, and his parents call, then he has to break the nafil salah. And if he's engaged in fard salah, and he detects some urgency in their voice, and there's nobody else to see to them, even the fard salah also, ulama say, he can break his fard salah, and go and see to them. To that extent, a person should respond to his parents. Then further he mentions this, do not give preference to one's spouse over one's parents. However, this does not apply to the rights of the wife. If the parents instruct their son to violate or discard the obligatory rights of the wife, it will not be permissible to obey them in this case. So obviously, once a person has taken care of the rights of his spouse, and he's not making zulam, injustice, he's not depriving of her rightful shari'i, what he owes to her, then he should not now give preference over his parents. Parents come first. And this section will come, those masturat who are listening, the wives who are listening, the section will come. The husband must fulfill the rights of the wife. And he should make sure he takes care of her nicely. But at the same time, if we understand this, my dear brothers, if the wives understand that the jannat of my husband lies in pleasing his parents, then she'll be the first one to say, go ahead and make their khidmat. Even if I have to sacrifice, never mind, go and serve them, because I know you getting your, if I really love you, I want you to earn your jannat. And it works the other way also. If we want love our wives, and we want them to get their jannat, then we'll also free them up to make the khidmat of their parents. So it works like this. We take care of the rights of one another, but our parents come first. If a person was disrespectful at any time to his parents, immediately regret this action and hasten to obtain their pardon. Then, as it mentions, after that person's parents have passed away, how should he now cover up if he was disobedient to them? One is make dua for them. Then some isale thawab, dig one well, borehole, give some sadaqah. According to our capacity, whatever a person can manage. And also Hadith Sharif mentions that maintaining those ties that our parents had, respecting their friends or those who they would associate with, some family members that we would only know because of our parents. Now keeping ties with them, this will make a person be counted amongst the dutiful children, obedient children. So even though we may have missed out, our parents may have left this world, we can still cover up in this way. Make dua for them, isale sawab for them according to our capacity, and maintain those relationships that they kept in their lifetime, will then be counted as obedient children. Time is already up, my dear brothers. We'll just end with this last hadith. The hadith mentioned in Sunan An-Nasa'i. Try and keep this in front of us at all times. As we mentioned, the pleasure of Allah lies in pleasing the father. And Jannat lies beneath the feet of our mothers. So we got our mother, our father. But this hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that three people will never enter Jannah. Three people won't enter Jannah. One is mudminul khamr, the person who is an alcoholic. He's addicted to the bottle, he deems it to be permissible, and like this he loses his iman, like this he won't enter Jannah. Then that person who does favors to others and he continues reminding them of it. I helped you out, I assisted you, I took care of this for you. So because of this, he won't enter Jannah. And the third person, عَاقٌ لِوَالِدَيْهِ, person who is disobedient to his parents. He won't enter Jannah, meaning he had salah in his life, zakat, ibadat, hajj, umrah. He went year after year for hajj and umrah, but his parents were crying because of him, then he won't enter Jannah. Allah Ta'ala won't forgive him, because these are the rights that the parents have over a person. So Allah give us tawfiq, regardless of the age of our parents, regardless of their condition, regardless of even how stubborn they may be, how set in their ways they may be, or even if we may feel they have not taken care of us adequately. We'll just end on this point. Somebody once mentioned to an alim that we keep on hearing that we must be obedient to our parents because they did for us. But my mother didn't take care of me. My father didn't do anything for me. Financially, my grandfather took care of me, and my mother was always out. I was by my auntie's house, by the grandmother's house. She didn't do anything for me, she still doesn't do anything for me. So, do I owe anything back to her? So the alim said to him that, you are sitting here, and mashallah, you are looking clean, smelling clean, you have good hygiene. Who taught you how to wash yourself? He says, my mother, when I was small. He says, you can't repay her just for that also. Just your taharat that she taught you, otherwise you wouldn't have known how to wash yourself and be clean. Just on that alone, make sure you are obedient to her. So even though a person in his mind might think that somebody else's parents did for them like this and did for them like that, set them up. My parents now, they gave my siblings, they didn't give me, they weren't worried about me, they didn't take care of me. Just for our mother carrying us for 9 months, we can't repay her. One drop of milk, we can't repay. That one diaper our father paid for, or that food he paid for, our clothes he paid for, we can't repay them. So regardless, we take that out of our mind, and we put this in our mind, that my jannat, my akhirat will be by obedience to parents. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah.